We said there's six chapters in Shara Bechina. The first one is to define what it is. Amar Amachaba. Mehus HaBechina Hi, the essence of Bechina Hi, She is Boina No Odom Bechochma Saboira, Haniris Bebruim. Step number one, you have to meditate on the Chochma of the Boira that is apparent in the Bria, that you can see in the creation. V'yachshov bo besichloi, this is important, these three words are critical, and you have to think about it in Miseichel. At kama shekoyach havanosa magia, up to the extent that your understanding takes you. I mean, sitting and meditating on a tree ain't going to do it. You've got to use your seichel to break open and understand and take apart what is the chokhmah of Hashem in a tree. Va'al yimna adam es atzma mizbayin nezum ibn ha'shein hu masig es ha'chokhmah sarabo es va'amukwe shebekol ha'bruyim al-bruyim. And a person shouldn't hold himself back from meditating on this because he knows he won't be able to understand the unbelievable chokhmah that there is, the deep and multiple chokhmah that there is in each of the things that Hashem created. What are you going to do? You're going to start understanding subatomic particles and you're going to study nuclear physics and you're going to... No, don't hold yourself back because of that. Kol echad ki fisich lo yoichel ahavchin mikol dover v'dover v'elem es yocheles Hashem v'chokhmosoy. Everybody on his level, on what he's capable of achieving, each one according to his abilities, is able to understand and to grasp in each and everything in the world the incredible wisdom and power of Hashem. Bipnesha Chokhma, why is it like that? Because Chokhma afal pi shehi mitchalekes bebruim lechokhmas rabbis, even though, despite the fact that this Chokhma is divided up into the Bria in many, many different levels, because those be yesoid of ikora achasi, but at its foundation, it's all one thing. At the root of everything, there's one thing. But each thing looks different and comes out different depending on what the needs of the world are. You'll bring one moshel. I have another moshel which I think might be easier to understand. The Shemesh. The sun's one thing, right? The sun is the sun. That sun is one thing, but when you shine it through different materials, different filters, different glasses, it comes out with different colors. Plug it through a pyramid, it comes out, it breaks up into six colors. The light changes depending on the color and the shape of the light, of the glass. If you water a garden that's got different color flowers, so then the water near him amayim ala prochim betziva prochim, the water looks like the colors of the flowers. You put a drop of water on a red rose, the water looks red. You put on a blue rose, the water looks blue. Although it's the same water. So that's a moshel, but that's not the nimshel. V'cheini gam chochos meyerach isbarach. So too the chochma v'ashem. B'makayri hi achas. The Chokhmah of Hashem is Hashem. It's one. It's not divided up into parts. Ela shekol echad me'abruim kibel es tzurosev et chenoisev ve'etem l'mash reylo. Each of the Bria gets a certain aspect of Hashem depending on what he needs. It's known today scientifically that from one cell in the human body you can grow the entire human body. Which means the nose, let's say the nose is a cell. Why is it nose? You could take a cell out of the nose and grow a toe with that. If you knew how. In fact, you could take one cell out of a human body and you could recreate the entire universal experience if you knew how, according to the scientists today. Because one cell contains everything you need to create an entire universe. An amazing discovery they made. And that's what cloning is about. When they clone a sheep, they don't take the whole sheep and clone another sheep. They take one cell or one stem cell out of the sheep, and there they grow, whatever you do it, they grow an entire sheep. One second, how does the ear know that it's going to be an ear? How does a toe know it's going to be a toe? That's what we're talking about here. It's all Hashem. It's all Chokhmah, one thing. But this guy needs 10 toes. Fine. So he'll get 10 toes. So that light will shine bright as a toe. In that toe, there's everything you would need to make an ear as well. That's what he's talking about here. At the side of everything, Are you smiling about? You get an ear growing on your back and a nose growing on your elbow.
Man.
So that's the, when you look at the genetic coding, when you look at, we look at anything, you look at a seed, you look at anything, what's at the root of all that is called a Hashem. So everybody is capable at a certain level, at their level of knowledge and intellect, to grasp that oneness in whatever you see in the Bria. Some things are more complex, some things are less complex. You have a child, a baby is born. It's not so hard to see the Chochmah Bayu there. For the few minutes that their child's born and there's a newborn baby in the house, anybody doubts the Chochmah Bayu there? You can see it, it's Poshut. Other things need more Bechina and more work. Al Kain, his brain and Bebriya Sabayre, Meketanim Ad Godlom. Therefore, meditate on the Kriya of the Bria of Hashem, from the small to the big, V'ayin V'dorim Sheterem Avanta, and think deep about the things you do understand. But Simtze, Ras Hashem, Sha'emesi Kamo Shamati L'chon, you'll see that the truth is as I'm telling you. Shemikol Nivra V'Nivra, everything in the world. Epshel Havchin is Chochmas Hashem, you can see the Chochmah of Hashem. Ushakol Sugya Chochmah Nirim Bebruim, and then all the different types of Chochmah that you see in the Bria, Kulam Mistaifim Misod Shoyish Echad, all comes from one Shoyish. There's two things here. You're capable, if you will meditate and think about the Bria, you're capable of seeing the Chochmah of Shem in everything in the Bria if you just use your Seichel. Everyone according to his level. And second of all, you'll come to realize that all the Chochmah that you see in the Bria, it all has one Shoyish, and that's Hashem. Amazing, amazing way to live your life. The master craftsman of this line is Rav Avigdor Miller. If you've read it, you've studied his stuff, you listen to Shirim, you'll see all he was doing was this. It was more and more and more generating his own understanding of the Chochmah Bria in the Bria. All the times, unbelievable. From trees to this to that, everything. And today as well, it's enormous. Just think about ways. Have you thought about ways?
Unbelievable.
You think about ways? You know what that tells you about Hashem? The Chochmah for ways came from Hashem. The guy that thought about it got his Chochmah from Hashem. You know what that thing's doing? I mean, gets it wrong often, by the way. I can testify to the fact that Waze is not a perfect... you have to use your own seichel when you're using Waze as well. You get into a lot of trouble otherwise. But you think what's going on there? If it was just doing it for you, it would be unbelievably miraculous. Churning billions of cheshbonos all the time, tracking you, watching you, working out where the quest was. Suddenly there's traffic, he has to recalculate, move you there, whatever. It was not just doing it for you, it was doing it for millions of people all over the world. And he never mistook you for him, he knows exactly who he is and where he is all the time. Unless it says searching for network, which happens most of the time, especially when you're in like the middle of the Palestinian area where he's taken you to, and suddenly you can't get time to get out of there, you know. It happened to a couple last week, they're taken into Ramallah, they sent in tanks to get them out. That's ways. You have to keep your eyes open. But so there you stop and you think about ways, and there you can see the Chochmah Bayra already. It's a little bit harder there because you're getting interfered with the guy that made it. You know, Bill Gates gets in the way there, or whoever the guy invented it is. These driverless cars, everything. You know, for us it's science fiction. It's happening. The roads that have been built in this country are all being upgraded to handle driverless cars within 5 years. They're testing driverless cars in Italy already. There'll be a miler, you know, Kevin, you don't see with Israeli drivers. I want to know whether the cars are going to be programmed as Israelis or as Englishmen. You know, you can program the car to drive like an Israeli, you know. So, oh, these driverless cars are going to drive like Israeli because people are not going to know how to survive on the roads. Yeah. They have all these polite, calm, you know, well-driven cars. How people are going to survive? Anyway, but that's also, you know, you see the Chochmah Bayra in driverless cars. Wow, that's a pillar.
But people doesn't see.
No, you have to make an effort. It doesn't happen automatically. That's what he's telling you. That's what he said. You have to use your seichel.
Yeah.
The more you command it.
Biologists or professors, they know, but they don't want to.
V'yachshei bo besichlei. There's two things you have to do in order to do this. You have to be misbeinen b'chochmas abayra, v'yachshei bo besichlei. If you're just misbeinen in the chochma, it's not going to help you. You'll see it, you go, wonderful, amazing, you know, after a billion years, anything's possible. But then you have to go with your seichel and think about it in seichel. He's going to show us how to do it, Bezrat Hashem. Now, If you think about it, you realize that the Chochmah of Hashem is not apparent in all the Bria equally. In each species, in each aspect of the Bria, Hashem's Chochmah is apparent, is recognizable in different ways. Therefore, we have to think using a Chochmah and thinking about the Boira until our Seichel is able to grasp all the matters in a clear way. Blikol Sofik. No doubt. And it will be established in our thoughts without any forgetfulness. You know, it'll happen automatically after a while. You're walking down the street and you see a tree, you'll be meditating and seeing and celebrating and thanking Hashem for the wondrous tree. As opposed to having to go out there and switch it on and work using your Chochmah to build and understand the Chochmah. It'll start happening automatically. Why can't everything just be apparent equally? Why does it have to be different in every aspect of the Bria? No one would have any doubts. The idiot and the wise man would discover it exactly the same. So what would be the problem with that? I think he's trying to say that there would be no Bechira. If the Chochmah of the Boira was apparent in everything equally, and you'd look at, you know, you'd understand an egg. You know, if you understand the Chochmah of an egg, you'd understand, everyone could understand everything equally. First of all, I don't think there'd be Bechira. But I don't know what the problem is that the Chochmah and the Tifesh would be Masigat B'Shover. I don't know what the problem with that would be. So let everyone be Masigat B'Shover. I mean, we see there's enormous diversity built into the Bria. Diversity is at the very essence of the Bria. Hashem didn't make one insect, one pip, one seed. The fruit is a different type of seed with different wisdom in it. Some seeds are hard that you can't break them. Some seeds are soft so that you can't grasp them. Every fruit, just make one seed for all the fruit. You know, why do you need all these different models of cars? Make one car, it's cheaper, no? To do with the housing, they make all the houses look the same. Why? Because it's cheaper. So Hashem could have made one seed. What if to make a peach and an afasek and everything got a different seed. And they grow at different times of the year. And so many different insects and animals and plants. Just make one thing. What's all the diversity for? Somehow we need all this diversity. But I'm not sure what the problem is that if it wasn't diverse, so the tipesh and the chocham must have been the same. Besides, then the tipesh should be a chocham. What's the problem? I don't know why that's such a problem. I think it may have something to do with Bechira, but he doesn't say that. So I'm not sure. What is the reason that not all the creation is the same? Because something that only does one trick all the time, they call him a one trick pony. The very profound Musa Vortia that is not anything to do with our subject, the very powerful Vortia. If somebody keeps doing the same thing, it's predictable, right? If you know, if I push this button, that light's going on. So what do you see from that? It's not coming out of his rot. He's doing it because he's compulsed. It's compulsion. An addict. Somebody wakes up in the morning, he's an alcoholic and he drinks. You understand he's not doing it out of rotzen. Why? Because he keeps doing the same thing. If one morning he would drink and one morning he wouldn't, in the afternoon, one day and at night, the other day, you understand it's coming from his rotzen. He's choosing when to do it. But he's doing the same thing all the time, you understand? Chose por rotzon. He's predictable. When he's predictable, he's not functioning out of rotzon. I'm not talking about Bechira. Ella, miateva shuhut babo. He's functioning at a teva level. He's just doing whatever the teva says. Cows keep milk. If one day you would milk your cow and Coca-Cola would come out, you'd understand the cow's deciding whether you get milk or Coke. But all cows just give milk 24 hours a day. You understand? He's not doing that out of rotzon. That's just the way it was programmed. There's a pre-existing force that's forcing him to do what he's doing. That's why he keeps doing the same thing. Totally predictable. He doesn't have a choice about doing anything different. That's why an addiction, the first thing an addict has to realize is that he can't change. Then he can start changing. It's the hardest thing for an addict to grasp. Same with the virus. Until you realize that you're out of control and nothing you can do about it, you can't do anything about it. The minute you understand you can't do anything about it, then you can start doing something about it. The same here. If you're doing the same thing all the time, so then you're mukhrach. There's no rotzen. If a person's got two tools, He's got a hammer and he's got a spanner. So every a hammer and a spanner, a wrench. See, I know American as well. What do you call it?
Spanner.
A spanner. They call it a wrench. I know how to translate it to. They speak funny, these guys. What do the Swiss call it in French? Maftayach.
Okay.
Maftayach. I don't know what the Yiddish would be, but anyway, fine. Lomashane, what it is, an electric drill and an electric saw. So if you have two, when you have a problem, you can decide which one to use. But if you only have a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail, because that's all you have. So you're not making decisions, you're making choices. So therefore, if all Hashem would do is one thing all the time, you'd understand he's not doing enough rocks on it. The more diversity there is in the Bria, the more you understand that's coming out of the Rotson of Hashem. There's not just one thing going on here, because that's what it has to be. What does fire do? It does fire. It can't do anything else. What does water do? It cools. Someone who's functioning out of free desire, out of a place of freedom, you see, he does different things. He's unpredictable. Depending on the circumstances, depending on his world, he does different things. That's what's so disconcerting and so amazing about dealing with Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael are always unpredictable and are never coerced. They're always functioning out of a place of free will. That's why two people asking the same question get different answers. It looks the same to me, why they get the same answer? Because to him it's not the same. They're totally unpredictable, you never know what they're going to do. Never know what they're going to do. Unless you're holding at his level, then he becomes predictable to you as well. When Adam Leitz does something unpredictable, Reb Chaim would have picked that up, but I wouldn't talk. Because you can't, because he's functioning out of a place of total Bechira. There's nothing that happened yesterday that's forcing him to make this decision today. He's coming at this decision totally fresh, with the disposal of the entire Torah at his fingertips. So he's unpredictable. Totally unpredictable. Many, many, many famous stories about Gedolei Yisrael being totally unpredictable. You think you know what they're going to say. You answer that question, you know exactly what he's going to say, because it's obvious. First of all, he said it yesterday, and he told it to your friend, the exact same question. Rav Huttner was once asked, two chavrusas were learning together, and they got to the time where they decided, the one decided he needs to go and do something with his life. And he decided he wanted to go into chinuch. So he went to ask Rav Huttner whether he should leave Koilo first of all and go into chinuch, and where he should study. Should he study? Shouldn't he study? Should he just go to chinuch? Stam. Rav Huttner told him you should go, and you should go to the best possible place to study. Not just go to one of these, you've got to go Ivy League and make the best of it and put your koiches into it. I don't know if you told him to go to university or whatever, but he told him to go learn in the best possible way. And he said, if it costs more to go to the better place, come to me, I'll pay for it. So the chavrusa decided, that's great, he's got a license out of Koidel now. Went to Rav Huttner, and he told him he wants to go to chinuch and what should he do and whatever. Rav Huttner said to him, if I would let you step one foot out of the West Midrash, they'd never let me out of Gehenna. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wouldn't let his tshuvas be published. You know that? Why do we have shaylos of tshuvas with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky? Where's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky shaylos for tshuvas? He was a posek for how many years? He wouldn't let them be published. I don't know, maybe now they're published after he was nifted, but I'm not aware of it. He said, what's one psak that I gave to somebody got to do with anybody else? Why is it kesher? How's it going to help anybody? The unique circumstances and the time and whatever that came to me at that time forced me to learn the sugya this way. Tomorrow, I don't know, it's a different cover, a different world. How can you apply this to that? Good kasha. Whatever, Moshe spent half his life writing his shaylos and tshuvas that we can't live without today. Where would we be without from Moshe? In Achinami, they were all different. They were all different, beautiful. That's it. That's why they're so unpredictable. It's dangerous to learn anything if you don't know what to do with it ultimately. Shaylos and tshuvas are dangerous because you're applying halacha and you don't know how to do that. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. There's more to this in the realm of chinuch, because in chinuch you're trying to mitragel and habituate your kids to do things predictably. You want your kids going off to davening every morning. You want your kids doing what that's part of what chinuch is training people. That's a whole sugya.
How is this different in applying this in a secular situation? In other words, if we have two drivers and they're approaching the intersection, so one you can say, what do you do? You say, go. Then we say, stop. So why? Because it's a different car, it's a different experience, it's a different road condition.
That's why there's rules of the road. That's why everybody knows that red is stop and green is go. Or you have chaos on the road.
No, but when you're approaching it.
That's why you need rules.
Yeah,
the guy coming from the right has to give way to the guy coming
from your rules, but you have how to apply the rules.
No, everybody knows you have to stop at a red light.
I said, but you're approaching an intersection, right? And one person, if somebody was asking me advice, and they said, what should I do? Should I go or stop? Say,
what,
no.
Is the, what does the light say, red or green?
No, but you're in that gray area.
Which gray? When it's yellow?
Yeah, it turns yellow. In other words,
that's where you need discretion. That's where discretion is required.
Right. So
you can make the wrong decision. You have an accident.
Right. Exactly.
You have to make the right decisions.
So isn't this discretion somewhat comparable in terms of...
It has to be in the Torah world. It has to be Torah-tuned unpredictability. You don't want to wake up one morning, you heard Reb Chaim's gone to the Bahamas, you know, with his Japanese girlfriend, Rahman al-Islam. We're not talking about that kind of unpredictability. We're talking about Torah tuned unpredictability, of course. The same as in a society, there's rules and regulations, and your ability to have free expression and to be a unique individual is tempered by the needs of the rest of the society. Am I allowed to make a mangal in my bar? 100%. What happens if the smoke's preventing my neighbor from functioning his house because the smoke's going to his window? Oh, well, you're not allowed to make a mangal in your backyard. But I'm independent and I can do whatever I want whenever I want. No. Many things, yeah. I'm allowed to make as much noise as I want, but after 11 o'clock at night, the law says you have to allow the people near you to live normally in their homes. Everything we have is always tempered and limited by everybody else's so-called independence and predictability, of course. That's why a society without rules and regulations, that's why one of the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, they have to set up a system. They've got to set up judges and laws and courts, and then otherwise it would be chaos. Even with laws and whatever, they're eating each other alive.
They don't
that's
enforce
why you
laws.
Have to have a system that functions properly.
They don't enforce the law here.
That's another problem. Good, but I'm just saying they're not being mekayem the mitzvah of the shemitzvahs. Very interesting. I'll tell you a very, very interesting story. I was in South Africa, and in South Africa, the way the traffic enforcement works there is the traffic cop bars from the mafaked a certain spot where that's his spot, that's his intersection, and whatever he makes out of that intersection is his. He has to write a certain amount of dock, and has to take whatever bribes and whatever he takes, that's his panosa. You do it. I mean, it's posh. Everyone knows it.
Wow.
And if somebody offers them a faket more, this guy gets kicked out of them. Forget it. They auction it out. And the better spot's got it. The older guys, you do it. Don't quote me on this, but there you do it. So I'm driving there one day, and I turn right at a light where the green light was flashing, and the guy's standing there, and he pulls me over. He tells me, you went to the red light. You turned right to the red light. I'm gonna cut the story short, because this isn't what the story is about. I told him, I don't know any argument. He tells me, your indicator is not working. It was. I didn't get out the car. I wasn't even arguing with him. I said to him, come as ole. What's it going to cost me? So he says, this, it's going to cost you 1,200 rand or whatever. I said, if we do this private, he says, 100 rand. So I took it 100 rand and I gave it to him. And I went, goodbye, shalom al-Israel. This was just before Pesach. I come back, I'm driving with Rav Chesna to the matzah factory to take him there. Mr. Chesnet learned, his brother is one of the big poiskim in Ofakim. So the schools once a year, I take him to the matzah factory together. So we talk. So he asked me, how was South Africa? So I told him, he says, as he went in the car, he put on his seatbelt. So he said to me, in South Africa, they muck pit on seatbelts there as well. I said, there you can get away with anything. And I told him the story. He says, you know, you're one of the Sheva mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, which were a Jew is the Raisa. I said, what are you talking about? Which Sheva mitzvahs of B'nai Noach? Even in a chai, what are you talking about? He said, no, setting up laws. They have a chiv to set up this laws, justice and enforcement, and you have reached that. You're in the system. Now, when I tell, everyone passes like that, I don't in that situation, whatever, but whoever thinks like that?
But that would be true if he had pulled you over for no reason.
Good, that's what I'm saying. You have to work out exactly where, how, what the whole story is. It wasn't Paskin Alohi, he was just trying to arouse me to the fact that there's a thing called, there's a thing called rules and laws in this world for a very good reason. Because the Torah, it's a deraisa. Setting up justice and setting up this is justice, because otherwise it would be impossible. wouldn't be shaykh to survive otherwise. And of course we have Torah laws, and Torah laws are always tempered. You have to keep Shabbos. You don't keep Shabbos, you have skiller. But there are times you have a chiv to machal Shabbos, just another person's life. It's not a nice thing to do. You have a chiv to machal Shabbos, a mitzvah. Many, you see that all the time. Torah talks about money. You have to break the speed limit. You go through red lights. In South Africa it was the kuf. I don't know if it's still like that now, but when the hijackings were very bad. So after a certain time at night, you didn't have to stop at red lights. You treated a red light as a yield sign. You slow down, you see that no one's going, then you go. You didn't have to stop at a red light, because it was a conduct to stop a red light. It's in the government. I'll tell you another interesting thing. In South Africa, there were a lot of burglaries. A lot of robberies. So people have burglar alarms. What do you do on Shabbos? Shabbos is a big problem. All these sensors, whatever, you can't use it. You have to switch it off. But if it's off, you're not insured. So the base thing, whatever it was, they approached the insurance companies. They all must skimmed. That if somebody has an insured that he's shown on Shabbos, from the robber or whatever, he doesn't have to leave his alarm on Shabbos. He switches the alarm off on Shabbos and he's covered. If something happens, they'll cover it. Imagine such a thing. Anyway, what happened was, is I don't know who told the Schwarzes this, was the Sunnis was spate of burglaries on Shabbos, and the insurance companies changed their mind. They said, no more. We're not covering. If the alarm's off on Shabbos, you're not covered anymore. They were just, obviously the Schwarzes, somebody told them. Go, the Jews don't have their alarms on Shabbos. I know they found out. Anyway, they found out. So, anyways, it was all, some people invented ways to whatever. There was all sorts of, you know, Jews get creative when they're desperate. They created all sorts of grommer alarms. It was a whole bunch. Anyways, in the day, this is what was in Yana de Yoga. So you see, once again, there's an insurance company rule that if your alarm's on, you don't get paid. But if they want, they could, yeah. It's happening all the time. You're adapting and changing and moving. But what we're talking about here, unpredictability and diversity in the world, is first of all, a college balkans unpredictability, even though there's some things that are incredibly predictive. That's what I was saying. Certain things you have to instill in a child that he's doing out of habit. When he gets older, he can wake up every morning and make a new choice to go daven. When you first want him trained, like a little sus, okay, that he gets something, he goes and daven. Because why? Because I don't know, because that's what I'm trained to do. If you're going to just leave him making bechira decisions when he's 6 years old, you get nowhere with him. That's what chinuch is about, training him. But eventually he's got to get to the point where he's doing it out of his rotzon. But the yesodian, it's a big yesod, if you look at it carefully in your own lives in the world, you'll see that somebody that can only do one thing, he's compulsed, he's not working out of bechira. He's just doing what he's doing, because that's what you do. You can always predict what he's going to do. He's totally predictable. As a kamtsan, he never gives money, he can't get a penny out of his wallet. So whether an almana comes to his front door, or you know, some Rosh who's collecting money to, you know, I don't know, to make chemical weapons to kill people, not his door, ain't ever going to get money from this guy. Not because he decided not to give this Rosh money, because he just never gives money. How do I know? Because he didn't give the almana either. The same other way, someone just gives and gives and gives, so the Rosh gets and the almana gets. He's awesome. He's no better than the guy who's not giving. He also gave the wrong guy and didn't give the right guy. It's got to be cheshbon with a bechira all the time. You've only got one trick, I never give. Well, that's easy, you just never give. So that's not rotzen. You're not giving out of rotzen. You're not giving because that's who I am. And when you're giving as well, you're not giving out of rotzen. You're giving because you just don't know how to say no. A Jew has to have all those qualities. You have to know when to say no, you have to know when to say yes. That's what I mean by Torah-tuned unpredictability.
London.
Can you help me with a SIM card, a phone? What are you doing today?
I've got a PhD.
Yeah, so what are you doing?
I've got an English pension.